If evolution really works, then why do moms only have two hands? I wonder this morning if we just take a moment of pause, what kinds of things come to your mind when we think of mom?
Comfort.
Joy. Safety. Safety, yes. Joy. Selfless. Love. I'm only hearing the ladies. Guys, you better perk up. You're going to have a rough day. You know what, guys? You need to give them a little bit more time to think. I should have sent you a letter in the mail and let you know we're going this way.
Unconditional love.
Yeah. Nurturing, yes.
Patience.
Patience, yes. I bet your mom needed a lot of patience, Ken. My mom needed a lot of patience. And wisdom, yeah. Wisdom.
Understanding.
Discipline, yes. Understanding. Thanks, Chad. Yeah. Let's get a couple more. Mike.
Cooking.
Yes. Amen.
Multitasking.
Multitasking, yes. What was that? I heard it.
They're horrible. They're like chores.
Horrible.
Punishment.
Oh, your kids. Let's get two more.
Disciplinarian.
Compassionate. What was that one?
Taxi.
Taxiing. Yeah, taxi. Good. Very good. Good. Well, I thank God that in my experience, all of those things are true. When I think of mom, I think of loving and caring and nurturing, and I'm not going to embarrass my mother or my dear wife this morning who embody all of those things. But it is a wonderful time of the year that we do celebrate moms this morning. Also, we also want to celebrate not only moms that are here, but so many of us who have moms who maybe have gone on with the Lord. Many who have moms that are not here with us anymore. We want to give tribute to them this morning and give God thanks for it, and maybe draw off of some of the lessons that we've learned from our moms. I'm sure that we can think of a lot of helpful one-liners that we all kind of grew up with, right, that we've heard from mom. Anybody had a couple of good ones, right? Wait till your father gets home. That's right. Yep.
I'll give you something to cry about.
I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I'm your mother.
What's that? Because I'm your mother, right? I said so, which really means I don't have an answer, so it's because I'm your mother. Yes. Any other ones?
Walking on eggshells.
Yeah, walking on eggshells. Right, right. Yeah.
Eat it or I'll ram it down your throat.
Yeah, that's right. Eat this or I'll ram it down your throat. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, one more time?
That's a good one.
Say it again? That's right. I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. That's good. Absolutely. Let's get it. Yes, Kathy. Oh, that's right. That's right. You'd think by now they'd be all fat and happy, right? Because we all heard the children in Africa are starving. You better eat that. A couple more.
I've got eyes in the back of my head.
That's right, yeah. Also, the eyes in the back of my head and what? The little bird told me, right? That little bird seemed to follow me all over the place when I was a kid. Let's get one more. Yeah, do you think I fell off the turnip truck yesterday? I used to love when I will not complete the whole sentence. My mother would call me a son of a, and I'd say, yeah, mom, I'm, no. I said this morning I wasn't going to do that, but you know what? You've all heard it too and thought, why in the world do we, you know, what a bad phrase, but it's amazing the amount of things that come out of a mom's mouth in the course of a day, right? Hey, take a look at this video clip. Let's crank it up so it's real loud so everybody can hear it.
What I have done is I have figured out what a mom would say in a 24-hour period, and I have condensed it to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. So strap on your seatbelt. Here we go. Can
Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Because remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3-2. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel, choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where are you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please, excuse me makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly. But right now, I'd thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, we'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count to three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a go. So I don't care who started. You're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least 1,000 times before that you're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! Brush your teeth, wash your face, get your PJs on. Get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again. Because the moms work never ends. You don't need the reason why. Because I said so. I'm the mom. The mom. Ta-da!
All too familiar, huh? Seriously, though, there is nothing more impacting in the life of a person than mom. Those precious people that God give to us to model for us, an example for us, so many different characteristics. I'm going to take a look at some of those this morning. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. And so this morning we want to honor moms that are here with us, as well as honor those moms who maybe aren't here with us physically, or those who have gone home to be with the Lord. Jesus, quoting the fifth commandment in Matthew 15, commands us to honor our father and our mother. And today, so moms all over, young and old, we give honor to you today. We thank you for your commitment to raising young men and young women to be all that they can be. I want us to consider for a moment four things that moms instill into their children, or four things that moms have already instilled into us as adults, that it's always good at times like this to maybe reflect on. The first thing that we see is that moms instill a godly example. Moms instill a godly example. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Along with Paul's expressed love and concern for Timothy, he makes reference to the tremendous heritage that this young one in the faith has been given and blessed with. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded Timothy is in you also. Moms, you need to realize that your sons and your daughters living with you, as well as those who are out on their own, are forever learning from your example. You never stop being a mom. You never stop, certainly never stop worrying, certainly never stop caring, but you also never stop being that one, that young person looked up to, regardless of how old they may be today. Notice Paul doesn't just make reference to Timothy's mother, but to his grandmother as well. You see, there was a heritage. There was a track record of godly living that started with Timothy's grandmother, Lois. It was taught and modeled to her daughter, Eunice, and then was passed on to young Timothy. So how'd that happen? Well, I can guarantee you it didn't happen by osmosis. It didn't happen passively. It happened by spending time together. It happened by talking about the things of God together. It happened by going through life, by being an example, not of perfection, but of a person that kept pressing on towards their genuine faith, as Paul talked about. Moms, I want to challenge you to never think light of your impact on the lives of your children, but realize that your impact can change the world. Your impact can literally change the world. Realize that the way in which you raise your sons and your daughters is going to impact the next generation. It will impact your grandchildren. It will impact their community and the society, even a nation. Sir Winston Churchill, who said, "If we want to change our nation, begin by enlisting mothers." It was Theodore Roosevelt who really put things in context. He said, "When all is said, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community, and she occupies, if she would realize it, a more honorable as well as important position than any man in it." He goes on and says, "The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist." Don't ever underestimate your influence and the importance of your roles. Mothers instill a heritage and a godly example. Secondly, moms instill selflessness. I heard it mentioned a couple of times as we talk about what was the word that came to your mind. Selflessness. We see something very interesting in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him," Jesus, "with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you ask? What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And so he said to him, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not of mine to give, but it is for those whom is prepared by my Father.'" We see something in the heart of this mom that is consistent with the heart of every mom. As Jesus asks the mother of James and John, "What is it that you wish? What can I do for you?" We have to remember something. Obviously, their mother was not one of the 12 that walked with them. However, I'm sure these guys oftentimes went home and shared with their mom the things that Jesus did, the places that Jesus went, the impact that Jesus had on the lives around them. I'm sure she knew about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I'm sure they talked about Jesus walking on the water, Jesus feeding the 5,000. I'm sure that they told their mom that the blind were now seeing, the deaf were now hearing, that the gospel was being preached. If there's one thing that this little Jewish mother knew, she knew that she was talking to greatness. She knew she was talking to somebody who can do whatever he wanted to do. And it was this one who said to her, "What is it that you wish?" The king of the universe said to this mom, "What can I do for you?" Her reply is selfless. Her reply focuses not on her own needs, not on her own wants, not on the things that she liked to see happen. It had everything to do with her children. It was selfless. I read a really good story somebody had sent me. Maybe moms, you can relate with this, and I hope you're encouraged by it. It says, "It all began to make sense," she writes. "The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. Inside, I'm thinking, can't you see I'm on the phone? Obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner, because no one can see me at all. I'm invisible. I'm the invisible mom. Some days," she writes, "I'm only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Some days I'm not even a pair of hands. I'm not even a human being. I'm a clock to ask, what time is it? I'm a satellite to guide the answer, what number is the Disney Channel on? I was certain that these were once the hands that held books and the eyes that studied history and the mind that graduated summa cum laude. But now they had disappeared into the peanut butter, never to be seen again. She's going, gone." She says, "One night a group of us were having dinner, celebrating the return of a friend from England. Janice had just gotten back from a fabulous trip, and she was going on and on about the hotel that she stayed in. I was sitting there, looking around at the others, all put together so beautifully. It was so hard not to compare and feel sorry for myself as I looked down at my old style of dress, and it was the only thing I could find that was clean. My unwashed hair was pulled up in a hair clip, and I was afraid that I actually was smelling like peanut butter. I was feeling pretty pathetic when Janice turned to me with a beautifully wrapped package and said, 'I bought this for you.' It was a book on the great cathedrals of Europe. I wasn't exactly sure why she had given it to me until I read her inscription. 'Dear Charlotte, with admiration for the greatness of what you are building when nobody sees. In the days ahead, I would read, no, devour the book. I would discover what would be for me four little life-changing truths after which I could pattern my work. No one can say who built these great cathedrals. We have no record of their names. These builders gave their whole lives for a work that they would never, ever see finished. They made great sacrifices and expected no credit. The passion of their building was fueled by their faith that the eyes of God saw everything. A legendary story in the book told of a rich man who came to visit the cathedral while it was being built, and he saw a workman carving a tiny bird on the inside of a beam. He was puzzled, and he asked the man, 'Why are you spending so much time on the inside of the beam working on something that nobody will ever see?' And his response was, 'Well, God sees.'" She says, "I closed the book, feeling the missing piece falling into place." She said, it was almost as if I could hear God whispering to me, "I see you, Charlotte. I see the sacrifices you make every day, even when no one around you does. No act of kindness you've done, no sequin you've sewn, no cupcake you've baked is too small for me to notice and smile over. You are building a great cathedral, but you can't see right now what it will become. At times, my invisibility feels like an affliction, but it is not a disease that is erasing my life. It is the cure for the disease of my own self-centeredness. It is the antidote of my strong, stubborn pride. She continues, I keep the right perspective when I see myself as a great builder, as one of the people who show up at the job that they will never see finished, to work on something that their name will never be on. The writer of the book went so far as to say that no cathedrals could ever be built in our lifetime because there are so few people willing to sacrifice to that degree. When I really think about it, I don't want my son to tell his friends that he's bringing home from college for Thanksgiving, my mom gets up at 4 a.m. and bakes homemade pies, and then she hand bastes the turkey for 3 hours and presses all the linens on the table. That would mean I built a shrine or a monument for myself. I just want him to come home. And then if there's anything more to say to his friend, to Ed, you're going to love this. As mothers, we are building great cathedrals, she writes. We cannot be seen if we're doing it right. And one day, it is very possible that the world will marvel, not only at what has been built, but at the beauty that has been added to the world by the sacrifices of invisible women all over. What a great story. Moms instill and model selflessness. Thirdly, moms instill a godly expectation. Moms instill an expectation in their children, don't they? If a child has a mom that expects nothing from them, that is exactly what she's going to get. The opposite is true as well. For that mom who tells that child from the early on, you can do great things, you're wonderful, you're incredible, that child will go around the rest of his life thinking that he's going to meet those needs. And he will never settle for anything less than that. Moms instill a godly expectation. If you raise the barometer to greatness, you will have children who never settle for second best. Mom, if that child knows that you believe in him and that you're in his corner, they will attempt to do anything. Don't push them towards the ordinary. Challenge them to greatness and believe in them until they get there. That's what the mother in our story did. Jesus said to her, "What do you want?" She wasn't holding back. She wasn't settling for the ordinary. She knew who was asking her the question, and her reply, "Lord, put my boys in a position of greatness. Let them stand head and shoulders above the rest. Let them sit one at your right and one on your left when you get into your kingdom." Obviously, she didn't fully understand, but she was asking. But listen, she was a mother. And she wanted to see her boys rise to the level of excellence. For a mom, no place is too high for their offspring. No position is too great for their children, and no honor is unbestowable to their children. The last thing that I want to point out from this story is that their mom's desire was not that they would be rich, not that they would have notoriety, not that they would have prestige among men, but she instilled our fourth point this morning, that her desire was that they would be great in the eyes of God. That they would be great in the eyes of God. Ultimately, what the desire of this woman was that her boys would be great in the eyes of God. Mom, what do you hope for your children? Oh, we all want them to be healthy. We all want them to be happy. We all want them to be good, honest, hardworking people that are diligent workers and successful in this world. And those are certainly good attributes that we want to see instilled into our children. We want them to be well-liked and respected, and we want them to be good citizens and compassionate people. But the greatest thing, Mom, that you can instill in the life of that one that God has allowed you to raise is a young man or a young woman who has a relationship with his or her creator. That they would have character in God is the greatest attribute that we can instill into them. That long before they seek the approval of man, that they would first seek the approval of God, their Father, their Creator. For when that is instilled into the life of a person, they will certainly desire to be honest people. When that is there as their barometer, their gauge, they will desire to be respectful. They will be effective in their communities. They will be effective in the places that God places them in life. Not to please society, though, but to please God. And that is our responsibility as parents, isn't it? To raise up young men and young women who will ultimately look to not us, but to their Father. My wife and I always encourage ourselves with the fact that children have short-term memory. Right? Because we make a lot of mistakes as parents, don't we? A lot of times we'll look back and say, oh, I really didn't handle that the right way, you know. And when those happens, let's kind of just encourage you. You need to go to them and tell them you made a mistake. I'm sorry, mommy and daddy aren't perfect. Sets a great stage for pointing them to the person who is perfect. And see, all of our role is, you know what our role is? Our role is to be a reflection of our Father. You see, our children cannot grasp God, and so God gives them the gift of parents, and you're it. Scary, isn't it? And our role as parents is to be an example of the love of God, the consistency of God, the compassionate side of God, to model them so that as they're looking to us, as they get to that age where they can start to understand, we can teach them, say, listen, everything that's good that you love about mommy and daddy is a reflection of a God who loves you even more than we possibly can. That's our role. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege. And so for all of those moms who believed in us this morning, when nobody else did, thanks. Thanks. For all those moms who willingly chose and allowed themselves to be invisible for our good, thanks. For the sleepless nights, the warm cooked meals, the listening ear, and the shoulder to cry on. Thanks, Mom. We give honor to you today. We thank God for giving us moms. Moms instill godly examples. Are they perfect? Listen, don't walk out of here thinking you've got to be it. No, just keep loving on your Savior, and He'll use you in ways that you never thought possible in those lives of that little audience that is looking on. Moms instill a godly example. Moms instill selflessness by their actions. Moms instill expectation towards greatness. Moms instill the need to be great in the eyes of God. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome calling. We give thanks to you and to our God who gave us you. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, I thank you for each mom that is here today, those that are moms in the making, about to be moms, those who are moms of toddlers and infants and adolescents, and then, God help us, those dear teenagers. Thank you for the moms that are here that are moms of adults, that are grandmothers. We thank you for them today. I pray your blessing upon them. I know that so many of them, so many times they just don't know what to do. I pray that, Lord, as they look to you, that, Lord, you would just lead them and guide them. Encourage them that they would know how much they're appreciated. Lord, may we as husbands and fathers and children, Lord, not wait for Mother's Day to express our appreciation for those dear people. Lord, may they feel as special as they are today. And then, Lord, for those that have lost their mom, those whose mom are with you today, we give you thanks for them. Thank you that their influence will always live on in the lives of her children and grandchildren. Thank you they'll be reunited once again. We give you thanks and honor and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.